OnePlus is showing just how competitive the mid-range price category is right now with the OnePlus Nord, and I'm going to review it for you next. Hands-On Tech is brought to you from LastPass Studios. Access everything you need online simply and securely, wherever you're logging in from. LastPass makes security for your digital life effortless. Visit LastPass.com/Twit.
This is Twit.
This episode of Hands-On Tech is brought to you by Raycon. Go to buyraycon.com/hot and check out their wireless earbuds and get 15% off your order today. Hello and welcome to Hands-On Tech. I'm Jason Howell, and today I'm going to take a look at another OnePlus device. Now, 2 to 3 months ago, OnePlus released the OnePlus 8 and the OnePlus 8 Pro. Those are firmly in the premium device category, still priced well for that category. But OnePlus over the years, the price has really crept up. But back in the beginning, with the first couple of devices, OnePlus devices were pretty inexpensive, $350, $400 range. So it's interesting that OnePlus now has the OnePlus Nord, which is their mid-range device family. And I've had it for a couple of weeks now, been playing with it, and it's time for me to share my thoughts on the OnePlus Nord, including some availability issues, which you'll want to stay tuned to the end for. But let's start off with the design. This is, of course, more or less an all-glass sandwich design. Glass on front, glass on the back, makes it feel nice and premium. It does have a plastic chassis around the sides, has a nice sheen to it, and actually, considering it's plastic compared to the aluminum treatment that's on the OnePlus 8, it's rather indecipherable between the two. The signature OnePlus alert slider is here on the side, of course. Wouldn't be a OnePlus phone without that. The display isn't curved. I actually really like that on this device. I know that probably saved on cost to get it into the mid-range. Their premium devices have a curved edge, but I really like that it's flat on here, but more on the display in a second. Now, on the back is the camera array. This time it's offset to the left side instead of being centered like we've seen on previous OnePlus devices. And, you know, I'm going to talk about the cameras here in a few minutes. Bottom firing speakers, which sound okay, although their placement and considering the fact that it's not stereo speakers here means that it's easy to cover these and get like a filtery audio effect when you're gaming. Next to that, of course, the USB-C port for fast charging. Two color options, and I love the color of this device. It's the blue marble version. You can also find a gray Onyx version. You're not going to find any IP rating for weatherproofing or water resistance. So keep that in mind. Overall, I'd say the design is a little sparse, but very appealing to my eyes. Just because it's a simple design doesn't mean it doesn't look good. I think it actually looks really great considering its mid-range roots. It's an attractive design. And like I said, I love the blue color treatment. 6.44 inch 1080p display. It's a fluid AMOLED display at 2400 by 1080. Slightly smaller than the display that you'll find on the baseline OnePlus 8 from a few months ago, though a little bit wider. It does have the 90 hertz refresh, which is an awesome addition when you're talking about the mid-range category. But we expected that. OnePlus has already stated that all their devices would at least offer 90 hertz. That's dating back to the 7T. Front-facing cameras are here on the embedded in the device with a hole punch format. I think it's fine. Like, I don't mind the hole punch format at all. However, having two cameras in that area eats up space in the notifications bar. If it's one camera, you know, less so. But with two cameras, it really does eat away that space. It's not that horrible, though. You can deactivate it in settings if you really hate it. An optical in-display fingerprint sensor. I found it to be incredibly responsive. I did have to learn my finger a couple of times, but OnePlus sensors have been pretty spot on in the past. It sits a little bit low on the display, but I found it took just a tiny bit of adjustment for me, and it's comfy in that position at this point. As for performance, which is pretty important because this is a mid-range category device, it's got the Snapdragon 765G with 5G inside, and it comes in 6, 8, and 12 gig RAM configurations, as well as 64, 128, and 256 gig storage configurations. My device happens to be a 12 gigs of memory, 256 gigs of storage. And I felt like things are cruising on this device, considering that it's a mid-range especially. Now, the 765G does have support, like I said, for 5G. That's thanks to an onboard 5G modem. I did see 5G light up on my device a couple of times, but I saw no speed improvements as a result. But I did see that it was fine in the 5G signal. Ultimately, I think what's interesting here is that the Nord demonstrates the importance of a mid-range system on a chip that actually delivers more than what we're used to in this category. It's why we're expecting Google to release the Pixel 5 with the same chip, and it brings the price down while keeping performance up. So day-to-day performance here, I found in my usage, relatively indecipherable from what I'm used to with the top-of-the-line SoC for most things. I'm serious about that. OS-level operations, multitasking, you name it, I couldn't really identify a difference between what I get here and what I get on my Pixel 4 XL. Now, you start playing processor-intensive games, you might see some slowdown, but even there, I was pleasantly surprised. Riptide GP Renegade ran flawlessly in ultra graphics mode. I saw no degradation there. Fortnite ran at top graphics pretty solidly for me. I saw very little there. Asphalt 9, I started to see some stuttering and high action sequences with the graphics fully set to high. But as a whole, most games I tested played pretty darn well. And I'd say that's a testament to the processor that is packed inside of the OnePlus Nord. Battery life, 4115 milliamp hour battery. And actually, the box does include a Warp Charge 30T charging brick. This is the charging brick that can charge 70% in 30 minutes with the screen off. Not bad. So it's super fast. And as it turns out, I tested the battery and consistently got 2 days out of a single charge. Granted, I'm living my life in the confines of these walls at home, but that was totally doable for me and pretty regular in both cases. I got 2 full days with juice to spare. This episode of Hands on Tech is brought to you by Raycon. Check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. I love Raycon earbuds. They sound great. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/hot. That's buyraycon.com/hot for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/hot. As for the cameras on the back, you have the 48 megapixel main at f1.75 aperture. That's the same camera that's used in the OnePlus 8. Then you have an 8 megapixel wide angle lens on the back. That's compared to the 16 megapixel wide that you found on the OnePlus 8. You also have the 2 megapixel macro that was the same from the OnePlus 8. And then there's an additional fourth camera here, a 5 megapixel depth sensor, which is kind of crazy when you think about it, that there's 4 cameras on the back and 2 on the front, 6 total cameras on a mid-range device like this. Quality of the images, I'd say, is pretty similar to what I got out of the OnePlus 8 a few months ago, which is reasonable and solid, especially considering the mid-range price point, I'd say, both on the main and the wide, but not quite flagship quality, which is what OnePlus is promoting about this device, especially when you go toe-to-toe with, you know, like the Pixel 4a, which is expected out anytime. You know, saying flagship quality and then going up against the Pixel quality of photos, that's a tough sell. But the photos are pretty good. The 2 megapixel macro, okay at best. I found it really was slow to take at times. It resulted in really blurry shots sometimes. Flipping it around on the front, you got the 32 megapixel front facing camera, and next to that the 8 megapixel wide angle on the front. Both of those cameras are fixed focus, and the idea here being that the wide angle on the front means that you probably don't need to pull out that selfie stick if you have one. You can fit more into the shot. I'd say the 32 megapixel is pretty saturated and actually looks decent. The wide angle, you lose some of that saturation. It's a nice bonus to have for a quick selfie that, you know, allows you to fit more into the shot. I don't know. I could have taken or left the wide angle, to be honest, to get a little bit more screen real estate out of it. But you might find some use for that. As for software, This is running Android 10. That's Oxygen OS. And you are guaranteed 2 years of updates, of OS updates, and 3 years of security updates, which is basically the same guarantee that you get if you buy Google's Pixel phone. So that's really solid and something to applaud to OnePlus about. Not much to share on Oxygen OS that I haven't shared before. It's the Android skin that I personally like most behind Google's own. So, you know, all those improvements are here. And along those lines, this includes, for the first time, Google's own dialer and Google's own messages app by default. So the OnePlus dialer on and messaging apps on previous devices, they were fine, but I always prefer Google's. It's my preference, and I just really like seeing this. I hope future OnePlus phones do the same. Now, I said I would talk about availability, and first of all, there will be no U.S. release at this time. Sorry, folks, if you're in the U.S., you're not going to be able to get this phone unless you order online unlocked, and which you could totally do. But August 4th, the blue marble and gray onyx are coming to India and Europe, starting at €399. That's for the 8 gig memory, 128 gig storage version. €499 gets you 12 gigs of memory, 256 gigs of storage. And then there is an additional separate 6 gigs of memory, 64 gig storage version coming to India in early September. Now, OnePlus has said that the Nord is the first in a family of devices and have said that they plan to have more of these devices rolling out and probably, I'm assuming, coming to the US in the future. I think it's very interesting that OnePlus seeded these devices largely, in many cases, to U.S. journalists. So they're getting a lot of coverage in the U.S. for a device that's not actually sold in the U.S. Personally, I think that's a signal of something to come down the line. So cross your fingers and hope that everybody can enjoy the delights of the OnePlus Nord. So overall, I would say it's pretty disappointing that this device is not available in all markets, at least not here in the US. There's plenty of markets that do have access to it, of course, but it's a shame because it's a really fantastic device for the price. Excellent value to performance. And I think that's really key to what OnePlus does on a regular, consistent basis. And one thing that I really love about them, if you're living in one of the Nord's markets that carry the Nord, definitely take a look at this. It's a way to save money and get that power and that performance on a lower end device. I really hope that OnePlus brings the Nord or something new from the Nord family into the U.S. so that everybody here in the U.S. can enjoy the benefits of it. My name is Jason Howell. I review Android devices here on Hands on Tech, as well as All About Android. I dive deep into Android on Hands on Android and so much more for twit.tv. Thanks for watching.
Keep up with all the hottest tech news and gadgets. Visit twit.tv. There you'll be able to find and subscribe to all our tech shows. Thanks for watching Hands on Tech.